But it's about the money. God wants to tithe, but he wants all of you. But if you just make a step towards God, that same job Mikey got, I gave somebody to bid. His mom called me. They were telling me how much they was going to bid. I said, well, that ain't going to get that job. But, you know, I mean, whatever the bid is, Mikey's mom decided if she was going to deposit that much money, it was going to be in somebody that maybe she cared a little bit more about. And there was two people that bid that job. But, you know, before she asked me to do that, God had already ordained for that job to be done. But there's a possibility that if Kayla and Mikey didn't just say, God, meet us where we're at. We're struggling here. We'll tithe. We'll do whatever. And bam, you know what? Some things came in. So, you know, sometimes just taking a step and making a pledge and saying, God, my mother-in-law has been to Sunday church with us 4 weeks out of five. Now, she didn't feel good last week, but 4 weeks out of five is a record. It's a record miracle. My wife was at the altar last Sunday night, and there was a little altar call, and God told her, Cindy, haven't I answered your prayer? Haven't I brought your mother to church with you? Well, what else are you worried about? Don't worry about it. And she come back there crying. And, you know, if you'll do what the Bible says to do, you can have what the Bible says you can have. Amen? I'm going to go to my first scripture, and it's in Matthew 7 and verse 6. It says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under your feet and turn again and rend you. You know, I can't tell everybody how blessed I am. I've made a mistake, and I've shared a few things with somebody that I thought, you know, really cared. But they just turn it and they use it against you. And I really never understood the verse, because you think you're friends with somebody, and then you tell them, you know, I guess it's sort of a dude at work, and I tell him, well, man, I can take some time off, you know, this and that. And immediately the dude tells me, he goes, I need every hour I can get here. I don't have any other thing outside of work where I make any money. And, man, I made a way where he could be there an extra 10 hours on Friday, because they got me out the door on Thursday, and on Friday I called him and told him I can't be there, and I figured that guy was going to be happy that he was going to get that 10 hours that I didn't get. Well, he ain't talked to me since. He says I stole his day off. But and you know, I waved this out because after praying, one of my buddies, I got several buddies that are really good Christians. I mean, his wife's mom is in the hospital and having heart procedures, and she's calling me. At the end of my prayer, I said, our God reigns. I said, you know who taught me that? Your husband, Josh. And because that's what he'll say, like, if there's ever been any problems. And one time I'm working, and Paul, you ever see anybody working and they're so mad and they just hate everybody around them? And it's like they don't want to be there. Not you, Paul. I'm not talking about you and Atlas receiving. But I was like that. And he come up to me and he said, Sam, he said, you put yourself in this jail of anger. He goes, because you really don't want to be here. And you think that there's something that we can do or we can say to these people that's going to make them do this the way we want them to do it. But Sam, man, we're just here. We just work for these people. We just need to be smiling. But he goes, you can come out of that prison and be happy. And, you know, I looked at the dude, and you know, I don't even know if he goes to church, but I know he's a Christian. He studies the Bible. And I said, man, he's right. And I came out of that jail, and I've used that several times. And I just go in there, and I be happy. And I just talk to God, and I say, what do you want me to do today, God? And, you know, just from that little incident, the dude ain't talked to me for about a week, but I ain't heard about his garbage story, about his miserable life, about his wife that he divorced and then took back, about how broke he is and about how many things is going wrong. But then he'll throw a little scripture in there like he's suffering for Jesus. Well, you know, there's some times to suffer. There's some times to go through some things. But God ain't called us to suffer every day 24/7 of our life. My gosh, man, there's some simple things you got to do in life. Therefore, through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. You know, John 15:5 says, but without God, I can do nothing. He's divine. We're the branches. Somewhere along the line, we got to stay connected in the vine. I have that scripture written down, too. I'm going to go to that. It's in John 15:5. But, you know, watch who you share your blessings with. Watch who you share your dreams with. You know, you should have a mentor. Brother Angelo's been one of my mentors for a long time. We were hanging out. We were hanging out yesterday, and I was going to buy him a sandwich because I rarely have time to hang out. And I've been trying to call him a couple of days, but I didn't want to just have 5 minutes because I was on the way to work to talk with him. And he called me yesterday, and he was coming from having dinner with you guys. And we sat in Subway 2 or 3 hours in the corner. We had the whole corner. In walks a lady, and I knew her from somewhere, and she was getting her drinks, and I said, hey. I said, I know you from somewhere. And she said, yeah, you sold the house right next to us, and my new neighbors, and her name is Daniela, and she went to school with Pastor Kelly, and she came back, and she's a teacher at Scranton School now, and they're neighbors to some people, and they're Christians. And Brother A had been telling me a story about a guy at the car wash 4 years ago, and he had a problem with it, and the guy gave him a coupon, and he said, is there one thing I can pray with you about? And that story was in my spirit, and he prayed for him, and the guy said that his wife needed prayer, and she had had cancer. Brother A was that he said he don't know why. He said he felt like he needed to go wash the car, and he got Millie and went over there, and here's this guy 4 years later. And he asked him if he remembered who he was. And then he asked him the same thing, how is your wife? And he said, my wife got better, and she lived. And he said, Brother A does this a lot, too, anytime I'm with him. What's the one thing that I can pray for you for today? And he said, my daughter. Brother A goes, I have 4 daughters. I know what you mean. And I mean, we're just in Subway having a little church, having a conversation. How's it going? But the Holy Ghost was there. And that lady sat down with us, and he asked her, and I said, hey, this guy will pray with you. This is Pastor Kelly's dad. This is Brother Angelo, I said. And most people know Brother A, and she had went to school with his kids. She knew you, Melissa, Shelly. Oh, she knew Shelly. We could brag on you and Melissa, but she knew Shelly. And Brother A started just talking to her and having a conversation, and she said, my son is 17. He's my only son. He's got a girlfriend, and I don't know if that's the one. He goes, you don't want to go to college, and I don't want to let him go. And I don't know. You must have talked to her at least an hour until we prayed for her. But I believe that in divine appointments, I believe that if you'll give yourself to some time, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Pastor Kelly's message this morning about when people say, hey, you're doing real good here. You're doing real good during COVID. You're doing real good with the food ministry. And she said, it's not me, it's God. I would have never, she said she didn't know how to cook when she started cooking these meals. It would have been just a little table out there with a few extra vegetables or a few meals on it. But God took just a desire, just like with Kayla. He put a desire in her to do something when nobody else was doing something. All the senior citizens things, but it's really not Pastor Kelly. This is God's house. This is God's house of miracle provision. This is God's house of miracle healing power flowing through our veins. This is God's house of miracle deliverance. Now, I know that young boy up there this morning, Angel's brother, I know he needed me to lay hands on him and bind Satan from stealing, killing, and destroying, because his father's the same father that Angel had, who died in prison at 37 or 38. I thank God that one of the guys came out of jail and said he got saved before he died, and he told me a few days earlier to tell you that he was going to go to church with you when he came out. Now, when I see this boy, I see the same curses that were on his dad, the same curses of addiction and drugs that were on me 40 years ago. And I came up here, and then my nephew, Dwayne. Dwayne is like a superstar in my life, because a couple of years ago, Dwayne got in my car, and I almost wanted to shoot him just to get him out of my car. And, you know, I mean, he had aggravated me so much, and he wanted to drive him around, and I was on the way to work, and I said, you're going to get out of this car right now, and you can walk wherever the rest of you go. If you go any further, I'm not bringing you back here. And he got out of my car. But now this morning, he comes in here all dressed, and in one day, in one decision, Dwayne got tired of his miserable, drug addicted, broken down, losing, police chasing him through the woods life. And one day he said, Jesus, the same Jesus my mother called on, the same Jesus my uncle called on, the same Jesus Brother Angelo preached about me and showed me some money and said, if you'll serve God, you can have a pocket full of money. You don't have to be busted. You don't have to be disgusted. You don't have to not be trusted. And in one day, Dwayne turned around and served God. Now he still didn't have his kids and he was having problems. Now I can't correct the situation, but in another one day situation, in one day he had the papers for his kids. In one day he had to go to court and his kids were awarded to him. Now the situation with that wasn't pretty, but in one day Dwayne's life changed. But it started with the one decision at the altar, or the one decision at your house, or the one decision where you realize, I'm sick of being sick and tired. I'm sick of being the devil's, I could put another word in here, but it wouldn't be good. I'm sick of being the devil's chump. I'm sick of letting the devil steal, kill, and destroy from my life. And then Keisha, I think she knew what word I was almost going to use. We're not even on TV. I don't know. We got to try to act holy. We got to be holy. But in one day, Dwayne's life changed around. And when I seen him come in church this morning, all styling, all bearded, I thought, man, what a nephew to be proud of. Amen? And Dwayne's just getting started with the Lord. Goes to work every day, works the overtime, comes in and pays his rent. Last time it was early, I thought, oh, my gosh. One day, John 15, you know, we got to be connected in the vine. The church is the vine. I found out in the last 29 years that the church, God, the tithe, the offering, the giving, that is my connection into the financial vine. But I'm not preaching about financial vines, but God's vine, he will tell you what to give. He will tell you what you can do, but you have to make those steps. Amen? And the bottom part of this verse is, for without me, you can do nothing. But Pastor Kelly said, she don't let nobody brag on her unless putting it to God. And sometimes when you're doing so much and you think you're doing good and you're selling this house, you're selling that house, your mind gets evaporated like, oh, I'm doing so good. The only reason Sam McElhaney does any good, the only reason Sam McElhaney's had a job at 28 and a half years at Walmart is because I'm connected in the vine. Because when I show Brother Angelo, I'm sick of this job. I'm going to, Reams. I'm going to the place that makes refrigerators. That's got to be better. And then he said, well, Sam, if you go over there and work 10 hours, it's about an hour ride there and then an hour ride back, so you're gone for 12 hours. And then, like, you know, I don't know, a few months later, they closed Reams down and moved to Mexico. He told me, he goes, I'm glad you didn't go to Reams. You'd be over there with a sombrero right now on your way to work with the donkey and stuff, you know. But, you know, I listen to the man of God. You got to be connected. Sometimes, like, you get confused. Sometimes you get tired. We're out here. If you got a man of God or a woman of God in your life, and you're going to make a decision. Man, he's telling me yesterday, you're the power broker of getting the cars. You call them, and all they were going to give him was $8,000, and you went and got them $10,000 for a car or something. So hearing her talk this morning, you know, I'm thinking we got to get her and buy her dinner when we go if I go to get a car. Amen? All right, and Philippians 4:13. So without God, you're not going to do nothing. But with God, therefore, through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13, you can do all things. Therefore, through Christ, therefore, through the anointing, therefore, through the anointed one, Jesus Christ, when you receive him, he's in your heart. He's trying to tell you which way to go. He's trying to tell you not to do this. He's trying to tell you stay away from these people. He's trying to tell you don't get in the car with these people. God's always trying to tell you something, but you have to turn your ears on and listen. And then more than listen, you have to break the spirit of rebellion off your mind that you think you know more than the living God. And you have to say, okay, God, I'm sick of being busted. I'm sick of this life. I'm sick of the things that I'm believing for that I don't even think you're involved in. I'll take a chance, God, that maybe you know more about me than even I do. And it's so hard because we want what we want. We want the relationships that we want, and we just know. And I love this woman pretty much. I mean, I was lonely. My wife left. I married her. And Brother A says, man, God got you out of this. I divorced her. And like that, God got me out of there. I think it cost a little bit for a lawyer. Had my house. Had everything still. What I do, I didn't listen to the man of God. I kept talking to her. bam, next thing I know, I'm married again. The second time she left, I didn't come out so clean. It was a monstrous amount, and she almost could have got some of my house, but she drove off into the sunset with everything else in my house, and every one of my friends, and every one of my loved ones. Brother Ray said, I'll do whatever you say. I'm your friend anyway, but he goes, mark it down. He goes, I don't think you should go back with her. And everybody else goes, oh, Sam, you're in love. And except my mother didn't like her from the get-go. Now, listen, when your mom don't like her from the get-go, from now on, I'm listening to my mom. But she drove off into the sunset with all my pretty stuff, and I thought, what a drag, you know? And I thought, I should have listened to Brother A. Never talked to her again. And Brother A, he don't lord that over you. He remarried us, and I was, but you know what? God will let you make the dumb decisions. God will let you stand and turn 60 or 70 years old believing God for something that was never supposed to be in your life. And God will love you and feed you and clothe you and take care of you the best you can. But it's up to you to say, God, I don't want what I want. I want what you want. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before Christ went to the cross, he asked his disciples to pray with him, and they fell asleep. And he was saying, Father, if you can take this cup from me, please take this cup from me. And he prayed, and he sweat drops of blood, and he was stressed out more than anything. And it's spoken that he had this blood thing, and it was something that really happens if you're really stressed out. And he did that so that we don't have to be stressed out. But his final answer after the third prayer, and looking at his disciples over there sleeping that were supposed to be praying with him, he said, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And sometimes in our life, it's very hard when you're going through things, you don't see an answer coming, and you're not real slick, and you're wondering, like, I got to pray some more, I got to give some more. And really all it is nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? In Psalms 133, 1, 2, and 3, I brought this scripture up the last time that I was here. And you can start at 1 on this verse, please. 1, 2, and 3. This is the third verse, and I can probably turn to it, unless it goes. Does anybody know what unity is? All right. Somebody did a devotion. Unity is when we all flow together in the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is in each one of us to a great degree. So, like, if I ask you what God's doing in your life, and you say you're a born-again Christian and you got God in your life, you should know to a certain degree what God's doing in your life, because you should be having a talk with Jesus. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, church families, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, boyfriends and girlfriends, grandmas and granddaughters. But how good and pleasant it is for the church, for the brothers, the families, to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. When people come together and Pastor Kelly starts saying, you do this, you do that, it won't flow right if somebody says, I just want to stand over here and look stupid for about 2 hours while y'all are unloading the groceries. I mean, it works better when people just do what she says. She was speaking last week about a pledge. I prayed and asked God what I wanted to do, what he wanted me to do, and I did it. And I put in a certain amount, and I told her what I was going to do. It's not as much as she gave, but it's a start. But you know what? In just deciding that I'm going to help the church, the blessing already came. I mean, the blessings are already coming. When you make a decision to just do what God says, but unity is a powerful thing in a church. Unity is a powerful thing in a relationship. Unity, because if two come together and ask anything, if any two shall ask God of anything, if it shall be done unto them according to my Father in heaven. So then it says, if any two agree as to putting the devil to flight, that one can cast 1,000, but two can cast 10,000 demons out. So if you got a church acting in unity and in prayer, truly to me, the word nothing is impossible with God. But the word disunity, I Googled, man, this Google stuff is really powerful, Pastor. I Googled that one verse, and this girl was rapping that song. Don't cast your pearls before swine. I was playing it coming in the door, and she was singing that. It was a rap song. Angel thought I flipped out or something. I said, I'm practicing for my word. I just wanted them to speak that to me, and they were rapping it or something. Disunity, disagreement, and conflict within a group. Dissension, disagreement, dissent, arguing, difference of opinion. You know, it's okay to have a difference of opinion, but if you're in a church in love, then just, you know, say, hey, well, I can't do this, or I'm, you know. But, you know, to disunity and then to go to somebody else and say, well, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not. You know what? Man, God will let you do what you want to do, but, you know, you just can't do it if you're part of a group. And disunity is the devil, because the devil tries to come in and score division in your life. If you're married in a godly marriage, the devil will come in and try to divide you. The devil, if you're supposed to be in a church on Sunday morning, man, Saturday night, problems will start messing with your mind about why you can't go to church. Oh, there's a time to, you know, do something, go on vacation and all that. But if you're dedicated to doing what God wants, dissent, hold on, express opinions that are at variance with the commonly held. You know, most of the things in a church are run by the pastors or the church government, and the church, really, this church is run by the Holy Spirit. Because this morning I noticed we stopped down and the altars were open, and I noticed people came up and we just had a little time of prayer. That's when the Holy Ghost runs the church. And, you know, it's okay to have an order. But if you're in a Holy Ghost-filled church with some pastors that are doing as much as this, there shouldn't be too much disunity, amen? Because the blessing of God is when you can come together and just worship God and do what he calls you to do. In Romans 8:14 says, those that are led by the Spirit are indeed the sons and daughters of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons and daughters of God. In the morning, I used to think this was a crazy ideal. I remember I became a Christian and I started feeling different inside. It's like I get high when I get up here to talk about God. Or if I go to give out some clothes and they would tag me because I looked like the guys that were homeless still. I had a bandana on and I wasn't shaving. And they said, let's get this guy to speak. Maybe these people will understand him. And I would feel high, and I'd get up there and share my testimony about being a drug addict, and just the anointing would come over me, and I'd preach. But I was being led by the Spirit of God, and I feel this power inside of me. And 30 years ago when I got saved, God would wake me up with music inside my spirit, and it'd be like praise and worship. And, you know, I never had really worked, and I would, like, think, like, it was more important to go back to sleep because I'd have to, go to work and stuff. But then one day I got to realize that it's more important that I need to hear what God's telling me about my life. And if he's steering me early in the morning, I get up and I just sit there with the Bible or with the Google phone. Sometimes I'll get on the phone and I'll be praying with people. I'll see some needs. Sometimes people will search me out, and it'll usually be when I'm up. But the other day I heard God saying that I'm going to use you if you'll give some time to me. Time is a precious commodity. And if God wants to spend time, because the devil can get you so busy working or so busy doing this and doing that, that you won't really, you'll be doing something for God. But sometimes God just wants you to be still and know that he's God, which is the next verse in Psalms 46 and verse 10. I was telling Pastor Angelo this story. But be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. There's a couple ministries on TV that I just sow a little seed in, and every month the girl will call me and she'll say, this is so-and-so from Inspiration Network, Morris Cirillo Network, same thing, David Cirillo, And we just want to say a prayer with you, Mr. McElhaney, and thank you for your gifts. And so, man, I started telling her, well, you know what? It's like I'm really busy, but I want you to pray, and I want you to just take my offering right now, and I don't want you to call me back in a couple of weeks, and I'll give you the other offering for the other one. Well, she calls me, and she was praying with me, and I was in my driveway, and I told her I got bam, 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 and this going on and that going on. And then as she's praying, I hear this verse in my spirit. It's 3 John 3:2, beloved, above all things, I pray that you prosper me in health. And that was coming in my spirit over and over as she was praying and I was receiving it. And when she got done, I prayed for her. And I said, now I'm going to tell you the verse that I kept hearing while you were praying for me. And I told her that, and I said, I'm praying this over you right now. Beloved, above all things, I pray that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Because you can't just be in health. And you can, if you're in health, you can go and prosper. But you can't be in health and prosper unless your soul is prospering. And your soul can't prosper unless you know what this word says and you do it. And whether it's tithing, whether it's showing up in church, whether it's having the right attitude. Because the dude at work taught me one day that I could walk out of that prison of feeling miserable. I could walk out of that prison of not having enough. I could walk out of that prison of just you know, God gave me that job. Brother A was telling the young lady yesterday, this guy comes to me and he prays, I need a better job. I need a job. I'm going to go to Walmart. I need a job. And then he says, then he gets the job and he works over and he comes to me and tells me, I hate this job. I want to quit. The bosses are all evil, which, you know, some of them could have been true about John Ferguson, you know. Tommy said, let his office, let another take his office and let him depart. Amen. And somehow when they walked him out the door, that prayer happened. Amen. Amen. So I was praying for that lady, and she goes, Sam, she goes, Mr. McElhaney, that is the only verse that is on my desk. I look at that verse every morning. I said, well, God wants you to know that that's your verse, you know, that that's happening in your life. And, you know, I have preached to this lady more times than she has called me and prayed for me. But every time there's something inside me to share with her, like I told her about the business and helping take care of that lady and how that got dropped in my lap. And she was, do you have like some big major business or something, and you got all these people working for you? I said, no, just angels sometimes, you know, but God just drops stuff in your lap, and then, therefore, through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. But, you know, doing the all things is not as important as hearing what God tells you to do and being able to have a word in season. This morning I was taking up the pledges, and Sherry, is that her name that sits next to you this morning? Sherry. And as I was going there, she had her little pledge thing, and she said, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to do something. And God, while I was walking, God said, she has a need. Why don't you show some money? And it was just a little $20 bill. And I didn't know, man, what she wanted it for, because you don't know what God's doing. It says we can't even think about why God wants it. If God tells us to do something, we should just do it, because we'll outthink the blessing that he's telling us to do. We try to figure it out. And when she's coming out the door, I said, God wants me to give you this. He told me you had a need, and she started crying. And she said her dad was in the hospital, and she wasn't going to be able to go back up there and spend the day with him. And she came to come to church, and then she was going to be stuck. Because I gave her and did what God said to do, she was going to be able to go up there. And then she had me and Brother Angelo lay hands on her and pray for her dad. And I thought, I'm just the dummy that comes to church every Sunday. And if you'll just do what God tells you to do, you can be a dummy and prosper. You can be a dummy and have a job at Walmart and have a felony record. How he got me in on that one. But they have warned me if I leave because I got a felony, unless I get it expunged, I can't come back. But, you know, after you're there 30 years, Paul, I'm pretty sure when it's time to leave, you know, I'm not coming back. Paul can relate to that. But the lady, you know, and the lady yesterday, she had the same need. She had a need, and Brother A gave her some good stuff, and the word was just flowing out of him. I mean, it was like a Bible thing, because he was talking about verses about Hannah wanting a baby and then giving it back to God. He was talking about Moses and how the baby was born with God's plan, but the devil wanted to kill the baby, and the mother and the family had to put that baby in that little bushel and sail the baby. But all along, God had a plan to deliver that baby up to Pharaoh's daughter and raise him up as a mighty person. And they could have never did that if they would have believed like what was going on and just let him be killed. Somebody had to have some faith and do something when God tells you. Sometimes you got to just take these relationships and take things that are negative in your life, and you have to just give them to God and let them sail down the Nile River. And if they come back to you a mighty man of God, then they're going to be a mighty man of God. And if they don't, they were never supposed to be in your life in the first place. But John 3:2, beloved above all things, I pray. Not even me, this was Jesus saying this. God saying, above all things, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in health. And I want your soul to prosper. But you have a part to play in that. Amen?
Amen.
In Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Remember, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, not my will, your will. Because it was a hard thing. I couldn't imagine being there in the garden and God wanted me to go on the cross and die. I have wrote a book at Walmart, 2,000 Excuses How to Call In and Get Out of Work. 1,999 came the other day when you want to get a guy that's, you know, always bugging you, you call in just to get, so he never talks to you again. I told Corey, our boss, that, and he said, Matt Mahaney, if I know if anybody could write that book and have those excuses, it could be you. But Jesus is saying, Father, if you can, take this cup. He said it three times, and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God didn't send Jesus to die on that cross so we could have a mediocre life. He sent Jesus so we could do the call of God on our life. The call of God is without repentance. Whether you're doing what God wants you to do today, he hasn't changed his mind. He's still got something for you to do. My suggestion is you can have whatever this book says you can have. You can have long life. And Psalms 91, with long life, I'll satisfy you. You can have blessings. You can have finances. But to just be where God wants you to be at the right time and at the right place, and just to speak a word that's going to comfort her mom as she releases her son into the world. You know, for me to just hang out with Brother A and buy him a sandwich, he just watched me scarf my sandwich. You know, I messed up and went to the doctor, and I'm old. He gave me some steroids, and I ain't quit eating since Friday. I don't know. So much for the weight loss program for Brother Sam. I was at 188. I'm pretty sure I'm 195 now from yesterday, you know. But I just thank God for everybody in here. I thank God for Barbara, who sometimes don't even feel like she can walk over here and has walked over here many times, not feeling her best. Been part of our church now. I've known Barbara for 30 years. Started collecting rent from her when I was managing those places. She was the only renter that never gave us no trouble, did she, Brother A? The rest of them renters, Brother Angelo wanted to shoot me twice. He goes, can't you find a better renter for them houses over there? Those houses and Brother A taught me how to be the manager I am today. Amen. That's all I got right now. All I can say is, like, if you want God, if you want to know what God wants you to do, if you're ready to just say, nevertheless, not my will, God, but your will. And you may be okay. You may be doing all you can do. But, you know, the best thing to do is say, God, here's my life. And what I did is, God, here's my life. I don't even have enough for a 40-ounce quart of beer. And to be an alcoholic and a drug addict, that's a pretty low esteem. But here's my life, God. 32 years ago at an altar up the street at an Assembly of God church, here's my life, God. If you want this life, take it and do what you want. And from that point on, I've never been broke. From that point on, I've never not had a job. From that point on, I've never done another drug. From that point on, I haven't took a drink. From that point on, I never decided I might want to try to shoot some more drugs, that things were going to be so bad. From that point on, God has continued to bless me as I've done his word. If anybody wants to just release more of your life to God today, just, man, stand up and I'm going to say a prayer. Father God, I don't pretend to know everybody's heart here and situation, but I know that this is a people that love you, God. I know this is a people that serve you, God. I know some of them have drove across from the river to be here tonight. Lord, I pray right now that your very best in Brother Ian's life. I pray right now your very best in all of our seeds' life. I thank you for what you're doing in Cindy's mama's life. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in every life here as we surrender our lives to you, God. Put money in these hands, money that they're going to say, I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this happened. Just like Kayla said, money started coming to her when she made a decision to give more of her life to God. And now a job has come, Lord. I just thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, for every answered prayer here and this people today. In Jesus' name, amen.